Good morning, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Stefan Molyneux from Free Domain, 21st of December, 2025, only 3.14159627 days of shopping left until Christmas. Store it up, freedomain.com and peacefulparenting.com, peacefulparentingbook.com for an easy access to get a hold of the print versions. There's both the long and the short version. And I hope you will check it out. I hope you will give at least the short version to some people as a stocking stuffer, because I think it's a really great book and could really, really help the planet, help the world. If you want to, if you are on Locals, you can go to fdrurl.com/livecall, fdrurl.com/livecall. If you have questions, comments, issues, challenges, of course, you can, in fact, type questions here, shop.freedomain, sorry, shop.freedomain.com, not store, sorry, shop.freedomain.com, thanks, James, shop.freedomain.com. I really have only one job, which is to not get things wrong when I announce where you can buy the merch. One day, I will get that job right. I'm very excited to do that. I was talking to my daughter actually the other day. So the last show I think I did, I had some stutters and stumbles in it, which it's going to happen from time to time when you talk extemporaneously, when you're not sort of reading off a teleprompter, you're going to get your and I was pointing out that she'd put a teenage voodoo curse on me. And what happened was, I was in the car with her and I was chatting with her about something, and I had a couple of verbal stumbles. And so she said, a couple of times, because, you know, teenagers are, especially teenage girls, I think, are this deep well and reservoir from which you duck your giraffe head to drink up massive amounts of self-esteem and confidence and positivity and enthusiasm for your own existence. They're just wonderful oases in the desert of negative feedback. No, she makes fun of me, which is actually fair and fun. I make fun of myself. But I was pointing out to her that she put this voodoo curse on me because I noticed that after she mocked me with a couple of that I was having trouble in the show. Of course, it was a complete coincidence, but I thought it was kind of a funny coincidence. So there was that. And she had a lovely birthday. Thank you, everyone, who sent her birthday wishes. Her birthday was, I should know this, 2 days ago. I have another job, which is to keep track of people's birthdays. I outsource that to my wife, like other important aspects of my life. So she had a lovely birthday. Thank you, everyone, so much for giving her birthday wishes. And we're probably going to try and do a show. So Jared and James and I went to go and see the movie The Housemaid. The Housemaid. And I made a joke about it yesterday. No one got the joke. And that's not because there's any problems with the joke. And I said, it has 2 stars, Sydney Sweeney. That's gold, baby. That's gold. See, I just slum it as a podcaster, but one day I'm hoping to break into comedy. One day. You know, it'll be kind of like the Kool-Aid guy going through the wall. So, come on. Gold, baby. It's gold. Well, I guess I didn't get any support for those jokes. Anyway, so we may do a show because that is an absolutely delightful movie. I think it's a lot of fun. I think it's worth going to see. It is glorious soap trash. And I'm going to talk about women and the government in the call. So we'll do that hopefully later today. I've got another call-in show today. And we'll hopefully get around to that. Because, it really was glorious trash. It really was glorious trash. We in my family, we read books aloud to each other, and it's I started reading that book. I can't even remember how or where, and I thought it was like glorious trash. So obviously, I sanitize it a little as I'm reading it, but I did read that book aloud, and we had an absolutely hilarious time with that book. I mean, it's not that the book is just bad and trashy and not funny, but I am a master of fairly bad, outrageous accents. And there's a character, his little name is Enzo, and he's an Italian, and he's a gardener, and he's a... So we had a lot of fun with Enzo, the gardener. Bird hands. So, I weirdly enough do upper class, bitchy, neurotic housewives. I do those characters quite well. So, you know, I'm just a thwarted actor, basically. The only reason I do call-in shows is for role playing. But so we went through that book. In the summer, and we had a lot of fun with it. And because what we do is we'll read a chapter and then we'll write down what we think is going to happen next. And whoever's closest, you know, wins the next, like deciding the next day's outing and stuff like that. So we went through that book. And so when it was heard, it was being made into a movie, which it should be, like, it's a good story. It's a good story, but it's interesting, yeah, because, I don't want to give any spoilers, so we'll do it later on today. But it was unabashedly glorious. I mean, there's a whole genre, and it's a massive genre, which is, you know, pretty people in beautiful houses doing terrible things. It is your basic revenge against the rich, resentment, and so on. But yeah. Pretty people, and it's always the same. It's almost the same. There's a guy with a completely ass stapled to the chair desk job who has the most glorious physique known to man. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've seen some male buttocks over the course of my existence. Heck, if I'm feeling limber in my neck, I can even see my own. But I have seen some buttocks over the course of my life, and I would say it's rare to see rounded vanilla scoop cakes like this guy has. Whew. Something else, man. Man, bro doesn't even need a chair. It could be a stepladder if you need to change a light bulb. Ooh, is that a spoiler? Maybe. All right. So we will get to that later today, but I would recommend the movie. I would recommend the movie, and it is really fascinating to see the female tropes play out, and it's a good story. You know, people who were like, oh, you know, it's so whatever, whatever, right? But no, those kinds of stories, you know, it's like a really good hook for a song. They are not easy to write, and a story like that is not easy to write. All right. So call us if you want to call. You are welcome. We can talk live. And what do we got for questions here? Steph, did you see any of the Epstein 0.8% of photos released? And they already look really bad. It is, you know, I mean, I'll obviously just be straight up. It's really sad. It's really sad. Noam Chomsky up there. I think the guy who, I don't know for sure, looks like Steven Pinker. I think somebody was trying to take a photo and hit video record by mistake, because there's like a 3 or 4 or 5 second clip of Jeffrey Epstein and a guy who looks like Steven Pinker. I don't know if it is or not. And there's this plaintive girl's voice saying, "Where are you taking me?" To hell itself. To hell itself. It is monstrous. It is monstrous. Now, that's nothing compared to what they have. I mean, Jeffrey Epstein had hundreds or perhaps thousands of hours of video and compromat on CDs and other storage medium that were all over his brownstone and all of that. And it all just vanished. Yep. It all just, they went in, they saw it all. Next time they came back, it was all gone. Nice, tidy cleanup. So, this is, I think, the under-discussed aspect of the Epstein story. I mean, there's the obvious, you know, of course it's blackmail and nobody can tell the truth. You know, like in Australia, there was a bunch of celebrities who came up to talk about, I don't know, like after the, apparently it's Bondi Beach, not Bondi Beach, because somebody had a stroke when they were talking about it, the shooting, and a bunch of celebrities came up for a PSA afterwards. And people think this is organic. It's not. It's not at all organic. What happens is somebody wants celebrities to do a PSA about Islamophobia or gun control or whatever. And they call up people's agents, and the deal is clear. Like, you do the PSA or you're blacklisted. Like, nobody's doing it voluntarily. They're just a bunch of hostages to their own vanity and ambition. So none of that is organic. I don't believe anybody believes anything. It's just like, well, if you want to have a career, because you don't want to say, there'll be articles written about this PSA, a public service announcement, and then it'll be like, well, Bob, you know, we contacted Bob, but he just outright refused to do it. I mean, he refused to cut a PSA against bigotry. I guess that tells you everything you need to know about Bob. And then, so it's not. None of this stuff is organic. None of it is. I mean, you can say it's voluntary. Sure, it's voluntary. But see, here's the thing. Actors are supremely controllable because they can't do anything else. They have no other skills for the most part. So actors, you know, the old saying, how do you give an actor CPR? Right? They live. They live for attention. Right? They live for attention and they can't survive without it. And they can't do anything else. I remember, not that he was an actor, but I remember somebody asking Freddie Mercury, what would you do if you weren't a musician? He's like, I don't know, be a stripper, maybe. No skills. They have no skills in any other area. I mean, how often do you hear of actors quitting the profession and getting real jobs that contribute something other than largely anti-white propaganda to the world? It's not very common. So it's not like they have a bunch of options, right? What are they going to do if they're not actors? Would you like fries with that? And I know this one really well because I spent almost 2 years at the National Theatre School and spent quite a bit of time around the acting world, and I've hired actors, produced my own play, and they're kind of useless as tits on a bull unless they're yawping at high volume on the boards. So yeah, they don't really have any choice about this. So, but I think that the under-discussed aspect of this is that you have, and this is true of the BBC as well. So you have these individuals, these organizations, these groups, all claim to be deep foundational experts at the identification of evil. They're scanning, man. They're long-range scanners. They can reach across the world into other people's minds and imagine what's in there with almost perfect accuracy. Right? Well, secretly, he's a racist. Secretly, he doesn't say it, but you know. Like, they can mind read across the world. And they can, like, with the whole fine people hoax, right, from Charlottesville with Trump. So Trump said neo-Nazis should be condemned, white supremacists should be condemned, which, you know, hey, I got no problem condemning white supremacists as long as you're condemning all the other racial supremacists and ethnic supremacists and religious supremacists, but if you're not, you're just a fucking racist. So I don't care what you have to say after that. Yeah, if you want to condemn supremacy, fantastic. Make it blanket. Make it blanket. If you're only singling out whites, you're just a racist. This is very boring. So, but people were like, well, no, but secretly, or I know what was in his mind. I know what was in his heart. So somebody can look into a camera, compassionately say, I condemn X. And they can say, no, no, but secretly, in his heart of hearts, down there in the brain worms of his bone marrow, he really supports it. He's only faking it. He's just saying that to please his base secret. So they can read people's secret minds and hearts in the express opposite of what they actually say and with zero evidence whatsoever. I've seen zero evidence that Trump is any kind of racial supremacist. So, but they know. In the absence of evidence and with passionate speeches repeatedly to the contrary, they can vault over all of that and they can burrow into people's secret hearts, arise in the chamber of their unconscious prejudice with perfect 100% sniper-like accuracy. It's amazing. They can read minds, read hearts, put their fingers through the fabric of people's souls and feel every little knot and cord and reversal. And these same people are hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein totally fine. Some of them, even after Jeffrey Epstein was convicted for sex crimes. It's like people saying that they are experts at sniffing out cancer, man. They're so good. They're so good at sniffing. They can detect cancer in the slight droop of someone's lip. Just a tiny slight droop of someone's lip. They can detect. They just know. So good at it. Even if somebody appears perfectly healthy, they know. And the detection and rooting out of cancer is their number one job in the world. They're so good. They can, even if somebody like Cristiano Ronaldo, anybody's super healthy, no, he's got cancer. I can't see it. The scans can't see it, but I know that it's there. Because identifying and rooting out cancer is the number one job on the planet, and I'm an expert at it. What the doctors can't see, what the scans can't see, I can sniff like a cancer puppy. And then they're hanging around with a guy who's got like 19 giant fucking tumors hanging off his face. I don't say anything. Like the Jimmy Savile in the BBC, one of the most prolific and horrifying child and dead body rapists operating for decades in the BBC. And they're like, we can smell imaginary racism across the entire fucking Atlantic, people.
Oh, yes, well, we absolutely know. We know what's going on in the mind of the Yanks, don't you know? We can smell their bigotry, xenophobia, Christian nationalist racism from all the way across the pond, even with people who show no evidence of it and deny it continually. We know. We absolutely know what is going on in the secret minds and hearts of people virtually on the other side of the planet, don't you know?
What about the giant, multi-decade, unbelievably prolific weirdo Jimmy Savile in your own fucking ranks?
Prince Charles
knows, amazingly, what the temperature of the world is going to be in 100 years.
Ooh, I say, that's quite a power. That's quite a thing.
That's what he knows. He's also best buds with Jimmy Savile, taking marriage advice from a relentless, multi-decade, hundreds of victims pedophile. Very, very keen on saving the world from negative temperatures 100 years from now. Not so keen at actually being able to identify rampant evil in his midst. So if you didn't see this kind of stuff, why would I listen to you about anything moral ever?
Ever. Ever.
I mean, they're either participants, enablers, or completely blind to foundational moral evil. What Jeffrey Epstein was up to was foundational moral evil. I mean, you can't get much more evil as a whole. Arguably as bad or worse than murder. I mean, targeting kids with this kind of, for this kind of horror. And in any sane society, people like Bill Gates, who still consorted with this with this Mr. Epstein after conviction. Oh, but you see, he's very concerned about cow farts and CO2 and methane and viruses, and like he just wants the best for humanity because he's such a fucking philanthropist. And then he goes and hangs out with Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, you get how just completely deranged this is. In any even remotely moral universe, anybody who hung out with this guy would never be taken with any seriousness about any moral or ethical or good for humanity idea or space ever. Ever. Like it would never. It would be beyond laughable. Well, I hung out with a convicted sex offender. You should really listen to me about what's best for humanity. I mean, that's crazy. Oh, madness. But you know what it is? I think I know what it is. Yeah, Bill Gates met with Jeffrey Epstein multiple times after Epstein's 2008 conviction for procuring a minor for prostitution. Gates began meeting with Epstein in 2011 with numerous encounters, including at least three at Epstein's Manhattan townhouse and one extending late into the night. But you know what it is? This is the problem. And I don't know how to solve this problem. And I don't know if the problem is solvable. I don't know if people are just too fucking stupid. So you know what the problem is? The problem is people can't hang on to anything in their minds. I don't know if it's a modern problem, if it's like a TikTok phenomenon or something. People can't hang on to anything. Now, in general, it's the media's job to remind people. Right? So it's the people's job to remind people. So it's the people's job to say to people, oh, yeah, Bill Gates is off rambling about some bullshit, but Bill Gates hung out with a convicted sex offender, so what the fuck would we want to listen to him for? Bill Gates, who hung out with a convicted sex offender? Bill Gates, like whoever, right? Doesn't matter who in particular. Now, of course, a lot of people say, look, there's a photograph with me and blah, 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 it doesn't matter. It's like, okay, fun. Let's just say you just had dinner with the guy. Let's just say you were at a dinner table with Jeffrey Epstein. Then you can't identify evil when it's sitting right there. Then don't tell me about all these distant evils and mind readings and this. You don't care. You can't do it. If you can't see somebody with 15 fucking tumors hanging off their face right in front of you, don't tell me that you can detect tumors on the other side of the world from people who are perfectly healthy or appear perfectly healthy. That's all I'm saying. Anybody who was in any substantial proximity with, I mean, Trump barred Epstein from Mar-a-Lago because Epstein was creeping on some teenage girl. But they don't remember. They can't. I think it's trauma. I think it's trauma. I don't know if it's just human nature. I think it's trauma. God, I hope it's trauma, because that can be fixed. But people can't hang on to it. So people hear this thing in passing about, say, Bill Gates and Epstein, and then they just forget. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're just gone. Then he comes forward and he's like, well, you know, we can't be free until everyone is vaccinated, blah, 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 blah. It's like, Jesus, man. I don't know if Bill Gates is more frightened of COVID or a fucking treadmill, because that man is a pregnant emoji. Do you care enough about your health to, I don't know, exercise? It's just a thought. But they remember this, and this came out when Melinda Gates divorced him. I'm not sure we know exactly why, but I think it has a lot to do with whatever she found out about her husband and Epstein. But people, they just forget. They just forget. Something about Epstein back in the day, I think. It's something. Oh, he's being taken seriously by who he interviewed about COVID. Well, let's take him, right? What? They just forget. They just forget. It's wild to me. It's wild to me. They just don't remember. So, first of all, 90% of the Epstein files are redacted. It's not to protect the victims. I mean, you know, a good way to protect the victims is to arrest the child rapists. You know, that would be, I think, a reasonable way to protect the victims. But no. Bill Clinton's in photos, Prince Andrew, Bill Gates. Now, Donald Trump, but this is older photos from the 90s, often at Mar-a-Lago or events with Melania Trump and others. Photos also feature Mick Jagger, Richard Branson, Kevin Spacey, Chris Tucker, Woody Allen, Steve Bannon. And we're a smart audience, but just for the sake of looping around, it doesn't mean that they're involved in any crimes. It doesn't. Having dinner with Jeffrey Epstein does not mean that you're involved in any of his crimes. Right? So it's Woody Allen, Kevin Spacey, Naomi Campbell, Chris Tucker, Alan Dershowitz, Stephen Hawking. It doesn't mean that you're involved in any of his crimes. Of course. I mean, that goes without saying. But it does mean that you can spend considerable time with a horrendously prolific sex criminal who targets children, and you don't notice a thing. You don't notice a thing. Sergey Brin. Who is Sergey Brin? I'm sure you're aware. Born Sergey Mikhailovich Brin. Co-founder of Google. Undated photos released in December 2025 this month show Brin at a 2011 social dinner event, the Edge Group's, Jesus, really? Annual billionaire dinner attended by Epstein, along with figures like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk. Epstein was a guest despite his prior conviction. Uh, Other images show Brendan's social settings from Epstein's collection. There's no evidence of wrongdoing or deeper involvement by Brendan Epstein's criminal activities. You know, Google kind of hated me, it seems. And it's sort of not hard to understand why. I don't take any particular major credit for my work bringing the truth out about Jeffrey Epstein. I mostly interviewed others who did this, and in particular, giant praise should go to the Miami Herald and to Mikhailov Cernovich, Mike Cernovich, for their rather heroic work on lawsuits to unseal the documents. But it goes to show you that, you know, one of the reasons why Google might have disliked me anyway. I think we all understand this, right? So, yeah, people don't remember. They don't remember. So, of course, I'm also not saying that everyone who was ever in a room with Jeffrey Epstein, I mean, I get that, right? I mean, but if you've hung out with the guy, if you've had dinner with the guy, if you've done projects with the guy, if you've met with the guy one-on-one and so on, that's a different matter. If you've done that, then don't tell me about your moral fucking compass or radar. That's all. Especially after the guy was convicted of sex crimes. That's all. All right, let me get to your comments again. If you have calls, feel free to join. Indy Kalman. Join Indy Kalman. All right. Someone says, it feels better to forget those things. It makes it easier for an individual to avoid addressing their own immoral behaviors if they go easy on someone like Gates. I'm sure you're right. But I would also say that the genesis of this kind of moral forgetfulness is their parents. People's parents. In other words, people's parents do appalling things. I'm not talking about child rape, although it could be that. But, you know, they yell, scream, beat, and so on, hit, and are just immature and petty and violent and slam cupboards and storm around and whatever, just petulant tantrum stuff. And then, but they still have to live with these parents for another 10, 12, 14 years. So you've got to forget about these things. And then when the other people, when the parents come out and are nice or whatever, then you've got to pretend that nothing happened. So when you're around people who are abusive, neglectful, weird, bizarre, then those people will pretend that nothing happened and you have to go along with that. So I think just ignoring horrendous moral compromises is just baked into that as a kid. I think that's where it comes from. I hope that's where it comes from. Somebody said, I think they don't care. The original poster replied, they do care, but it's way easier to pretend as though you don't. When you're managing your own issues, how can you truly hold someone else accountable for their actions? Yeah, I think that's probably true. Amazing speech, thank you. Fidel Castro hung out with Epstein, is that true? Interesting. This is the basic idea many people don't seem to understand. If someone or an organization does immoral things, you can't then assume that they are doing anything in good faith at that point going forward. Yeah. All right, sorry, another comment here. Yes, of course, so we learn these behaviors in our first 7 to 8 years of life from the environment we're born in, but I was just stating in the moment how the individual is rationalizing their behavior. It certainly is, I think, it's hard to hold other people to account if you are horribly morally compromised yourself, for sure. Yeah, very true. All right. Any other questions, comments? issues, chatty chats. And I really do appreciate it. Of course, I just also want to say thank you guys so much for your support of freedomain.com. Freedomain.com/donate. It is a challenge. Thanks for reading my comments, Steph. It's a real thrill. Smiley face. You are very welcome. Well, I appreciate the comments. Very, very incisive and very, very smart. All right. Hey, Steph, whenever I find a good woman, she is always dating someone else. It seems like I will just have to steal one from someone else. Any advice on how to do that? Well, if she'll cheat with you, she'll cheat on you. So there's only one really honorable way to get another guy's girl is to sort of be around and be better and let her break up with the other guy and see your value. I mean, it's the old joke, like 1v1 versus 1v20, if you're going after a girl who's got a boyfriend. But I've certainly been attracted to women who are in relationships with men. As part of my eternal hatred to drummers. But anyway, so what do you call a drummer without a girlfriend? Homeless. So you can be around and you can be better and see if she chooses more wisely. That's all. Don't sleep with her when she's in a relationship. That's an indication of a bad character, and what you get will not last and will not work. So although I did know someone, I don't think the relationship was great, but I did know someone who got involved with a woman when she was pregnant with another man's baby. Anyway, that'll be a story that will never be told. Anyway, so, and I think they lasted for a while. But be better than the boyfriend and hope that she notices and chooses better. That's all. But don't plant seeds and don't be manipulative and all of that. Just be honestly a better person than her boyfriend. And if she's a quality woman, she will choose a better. And if she's not, she won't. And so it's a filter to see, is she capable of recognizing quality? See, you can't be in a relationship with a woman that lasts if she doesn't recognize quality. You can't be in a good relationship with a woman if she doesn't recognize quality, or if a man, with a man, if the man doesn't recognize quality. You cannot be in good relationships with people who don't recognize quality. So just be a more quality person and see if she notices. And if she doesn't, then you don't want to be in that as well. As somebody says, oh, Monsieur Kind, I wanted to ask about the holidays and the expected, quote, giving. I know many people struggle with it, meaning they want to enjoy the holidays but don't feel good about just spending to meet expectations. Hey, I'm a drummer and I've done well. Come on, man. I know, it's very petty. It's nothing to do with you. It's all on me. It's all my fault. It's all my pettiness. I mean that with great and deep sincerity. I don't know if you've seen the movie with Nicolas Cage. He's like an angel. And the woman says, because he keeps meeting this woman in the park, looking kind of scraggly. And she says, are you homeless? He's like, no. She's like, are you a drummer? What's more likely to be homeless than a homeless guy? A drummer. So, no, I'm just kidding. I love a good backbeat. And so the backbeat that is narrow and hard to master. Good for you, man. Obviously, it's just my complete pettiness about things from decades ago. All right. It's just spending to meet expectations. So some of the most thoughtful gifts I've ever received have been completely free. Cost the person nothing. You know, somebody, my daughter, of course, when she's younger, she made me pictures and so on. She even gave me a lovely Rocket League card for Father's Day this year, and keeps asking me if I've actually got around to practicing. So I don't think, and you know, with my daughter, when she said, well, what do you want for Christmas? And I'm like, please just make me something. That means more to me than anything. You know, I have a mug that I'm hesitant to use because it was a mug that my daughter made when she was very little with dad and, you know, lovely patterns and hearts and all of that. And it's like, I will be buried with this mug. Hopefully not soon, but I will be buried with this mug. That's in my will. But, I mean, those things are the best. I mean, I think you've all been to you know, kids' parties where it's just an endless cavalcade of gifts. And you know they're going to be played with twice and then donated. And it's all just a big waste of time, effort, energy, and money. So things that, I mean, either things that you need that you wouldn't buy for yourself. So gifts are for things that you would like but aren't necessary and you wouldn't buy for yourself, right? So those are the kind of things. The frivolous things that are fun and nice that you wouldn't buy for yourself. You know, like my wife last Christmas got me a really nice scarf. I'm like, I've got a scarf, but she's like, no, this one's really nice. This one's really nice. I don't know why she's not Italian. It's a nice scarf for your neck. And he's also Transylvanian. So I'm not good at accents, but I pour heart and soul into them. And whenever I do a bad accent, my daughter is like, oh no, I got booted out of theater school. I don't know why. Because again, the deep well of self-regard that is available from the teenage heart is virtually bottomless. But yeah, so she got me a scarf, and you know what? It's really nice. It's a soft scarf. It helps me know if I've shaven, you know, when you got a scarf in the winter. Enzo, give me a scarf. That's right. That's right. You don't want to be given a scarf in a murder mystery story. Right. And what's the last thing? I find it very sad how at kids' parties nowadays, they don't even open gifts up in many cases. What's the point? It's like dropping off a product. Yeah, and my daughter wanted to go skiing. I've been skiing for a while. You know, there's nothing that helps you feel younger than doing a demanding sport that you haven't done for a while. And actually, I shouldn't say. It was mostly fine. I just, my calves. It's the kind of thing where stretching doesn't even work. I have to get, we call it the pain gun. It's like a massage gun. You blah, blah, blah. Get it out and just, I have to cry my way back to limber calves. But it was... And it was like crazy windy on the hill, like crazy windy on the hill. And of course, you know, when it's windy on a ski slope, you feel it. All right. Any other questions, comments, issues? Again, love you guys for your support. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. And if you're listening to this, I hope you guys don't mind if we make this a public show, but if you're listening to this, freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. I would really appreciate it. And love you guys for all of your support. Thank you. It means the world to me. We are building a massive and productive base of philosophy for all time. I'm telling you, this stuff is going to be reviewed in hundreds of thousands of years. And I really do appreciate everybody who's helping to lay this base for the future, for what philosophy is capable of and how excellent and actionable it can be. Love you guys. Have yourself a wonderful weekend. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.